So we do have quorum then.
Yes, great.
Yes.
Great. Okay, you can go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Oh, what just happened? Sorry. And I will call the meeting to order at 17:34 p.m. on, what is today? Still the 19th of January, 2022. Did not know 2020 was going to be a trilogy, but... So welcome to everyone. I will start with the roll call and introductions. I'm, of course, Michael Ryu, committee chair. Herb?
Herb Fredrickson here.
Okay. Martha?
Martha Windsor, alternate. Thomas did say he's coming.
Okay. We'll go ahead and we'll talk about that. Dick?
Here.
Okay. And Jane Barwell?
I'm here.
Thank you all for coming.
Araceli's here. You want to open your mic, Araceli, and say hello?
Yes, please.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I'm Araceli.
Hi, Araceli. Pleasure to meet you.
Welcome.
First item, of course, is the approval of the minutes, which we cannot do until the next meeting, as Beth pointed out in her email. So we will put those off. I have a question for the crew. If Thomas is coming, I'd like to wait for him to be here for the interviews. So I'm going to suggest we just skip ahead to any other business that we might have. We can briefly talk about some of those other things.
I can do some housekeeping.
Or we can wait. Yeah, let's do housekeeping. Let's do that.
Okay. Couple things I got. Thomas is on his way in.
There he is. Okay.
So we received an email from the transcriber, and he commented that maybe we need to tighten up. I am paraphrasing. We do know that we do not nominate or appoint candidates. I think we all know that. We were making a recommendation, and there was a misinterpretation there. So just so you know, we recommend, and the mayor and city council vote and actually appoint. That's about it. And also, I guess, apparently, I did not know this, actually, that the chair usually doesn't make a motion. Somebody else does, and somebody else seconds it. So we'll do that from now on. When a motion died, but we didn't say the motion died. Somebody made the motion, then we carried on with the conversation, and then, nothing was, the motion was made, it was seconded, the discussion happened, and then we just didn't vote or something like that. So from now on, I will clean that part up when that happens. I like to have free conversations and people to be able to talk when they want to talk. But another part we're going to do is be a little tighter on that. Stay on subject. And when we get off subject, because this is a public meeting, it's best for me to say, this sounds like a new topic. Can I put it on next month's agenda? And we can discuss it. That way, the public will know that we are going to be discussing it without us going ahead and doing it. So we just need to tighten up a little bit. Hope that's okay with everyone. And another housekeeping thing is that Merrick is bowing out. He can't make second Tuesdays. Darn it. So we have Araceli and Bob is not here, but through kind of a glitch with between me and Peggy, Peggy thought that we had made the recommendation for Bob to be on the board, and so the city council approved it at their past meeting. So Bob is officially a member. So what we have. Continuing the housekeeping is what we have open in RSL. I want you to listen to this part, is because we have a couple openings and you have a choice. So the openings are Alt 2, which ends in December of 2022, and then Alt 3, which ends 2023. So it's your choice which position you want. And so today we will be making a recommendation, and we will make a recommendation for which position. It's no secret that Jane has decided that she will be leaving when she feels that we can have our meetings and meet quorum. Jane, I beg you to stay a couple more meetings, because we have Bob and Araceli, and that's great, but we still, when you leave, we will have two openings.
I'm happy to stay as long as you need the quorum, but I am actively looking for work. And so that's why I wanted to kind of clear the decks a little bit. But so far, and some jobs I decided not to apply for. And so anyway, I'll be here as much as I can, but I think it is a good time to recruit new people. And perhaps also I was hoping that maybe a student could be recruited for the group too.
Yeah, and Araceli's involved with the schools, so we have talked about that. It would be great to get a student member. So just wrapping up here, so the two openings are as alternatives, and then Jane's position ends December 2022, and that's the one that will open up. Araceli, if you decide that you want to take that position later on, that's fine with us too. So there we go. That's what we're... talking with you, I won't even say interview, I'm chatting with you about today. Thomas is here, and Michael, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I just want to say for purposes of the minutes that Ryan Parker and Thomas Follett have joined the meeting. So for the transcriber, that's official. Hi, guys. So then we'll jump right into the interview for Araceli. And as Beth sort of alluded to, this is really just kind of a formality. It's mostly so we can get to know you. I've had a chance to read your application, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you. And I hope that I speak for everybody else on the community when I say that. So if I would ask you to give yourself a quick introduction, and then I'll go through our questions.
So I'm Araceli Guevara. I have lived in Newport, actually in Lincoln County, for the last 15 years plus, maybe. I don't remember. But I've been here a while, so I could say that I'm a local, because sometimes I go by clothes at Fred Meyer, so I'm officially local. Mm-hmm. And I hate tourists, by the way.
Love their money, though.
Okay.
Okay, so then the formality of the questions. So our first, of course, is, you know that our meetings are scheduled for the second Tuesday of every month from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We do occasionally start a little late. We do occasionally run a little over. Is that time slot going to be a problem for you?
That's usually the time I get up from work. So usually it's not a problem unless I have an important client that I have to meet after 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes, but mostly I'm available.
Okay. And, you know, we do ask for a commitment for one meeting a month, so 12 meetings for the year, but obviously mm-hmm. real life takes precedence over our meetings. So don't feel that there's going to be any conflict with that, please. So I'll ask you to reiterate, you sort of answered this on your questionnaire, but I'd like to hear in your own words why you're interested in serving on the Bike Ped Committee.
I have a strong belief that a healthy community is a happy community. And unfortunately, here in our county, we have limited areas that we can go for a walk or ride a bicycle inside the city limits, you know, in a safely way. So I strongly believe that people should go out, you know, whenever the weather allows it, but, you know, to go out and, you know, and be outdoors because it's healthy for everybody.
Okay. And that pretty, I think that sort of covers the next questions that we typically ask, which are active transportation includes active transit users, pedestrians, runners, people using bicycles, wheelchairs, wheel devices. You've already kind of given your viewpoint on the challenges the city faces regarding active transportation. Mm-hmm. And can you give me a little more detail on what your experience is? I mean, you're a walker, a cyclist.
I used to be, well, I like to walk. However, I used to have a dog, and it forced me to go out every day. I miss that. Unfortunately, she passed away about 2 years ago. But honestly, I don't feel motivation to go out, especially where I am, near this road that is dangerous. Plus, I walk, I take little breaks during work, a 10-minute break, you know, 15-minute break in the morning and the afternoon. And when it's nice, we go out to walk. And I don't know what's been happening, but in the last couple of years, people driving their vehicles are speeding. I mean, they don't even look at the sign. And sometimes there's no sign that says 25 miles per hour. And this just going so fast. And it's alarming. It's mostly everywhere. And I think the pandemic has even created more conflicts because not many police cars are around patrolling. So it's alarming to me to see how fast most people are going these days.
Okay. So I saw you're still working for OHA?
No, I worked for OHA under Community Services Consortium for about 6 years or so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did have one question from your application. Sure. So you answered, do you anticipate having many conflicts of interest that may disqualify you in making decisions due to personal and or business relationships? And you said that the question you would prefer to explain in person. I'm going to invite you to do that, please.
Personally, I'm being really angry about about the issues we've been having on the street that I live. It's stressing. I have PTSD about it. Every morning I get out of my driveway, I have to be on alarm, and it's not healthy. It's not a nice feeling. So I might be a little more aggressive to guys, to push you guys to do things.
Araceli, I'm going to interrupt you. I think that's great. I think the question is, we ask this question for every council, and it usually means if you or somebody you in your family can financially benefit from any of your participation. So that's what they're alluding to. Having an opinion is necessary.
Okay. I think as far as the PTSD and the aggressiveness and irritation, I think you'll fit right in here.
Thank you. I'm not the only one then. Thank you.
Okay, so I don't have any other questions. If any of the other committee members do, please go ahead. And if not, then I'll give you the option if you want to step away while we vote, but I'll give you that option to do so.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then we'll go ahead and take a vote.
I'm going to mute. And
so, Araceli, actually, you can leave the meeting if you want. Oh, and we'll let you know later on. Actually, City Council will let you know. Or you can come back when, I don't know, 2 minutes or so. We'll be discussing the TSP. Up to you.
Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I said I'm okay with whatever decisions you make, and I don't take things personally. So,
okay,
whatever you decide is okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Have a good night.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Okay, so then I'll take a motion to vote to approve Araceli's application for membership.
I move to approve her application for membership.
Okay, Jane moves. And a second?
A second.
A second from Herb. Okay. And a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And any nays? No nays. All right. So there we go.
And for the record, we're not approving. We are just making our recommendation to City Council.
We're making our recommendation to approve. I'll work on my wording. My apologies. So with Bob slipping through the approval process without us talking to him because of his previous membership on the committee, we now have two new members.
We're lucky. I don't know what happened to him. He said he was going to be here, but oh well. So go ahead.
I want to jump off real quick because I said I had some stuff I wanted to talk about. As I said to Beth, I don't know how many of you heard it. I've been having a couple of overlapping family crises, I'm going to call them. So I'm not in Newport at this exact moment. And this has put a bit of a crimp on my ability to do committee business outside of actually attending the meetings. And I don't know how it's going to affect my attending the meetings for a few months at least. So with Bob and Araceli coming on board, I'm going to let you guys know that I'm going to take a few months away, just a bit of brief hiatus, and I will keep you informed of what's going on as best I can.
Sure.
But coming into this meeting, I didn't get a chance to call any of the candidates beforehand as I had promised that I was going to do. I've also not had a chance to look at the TSP. So I'm coming into this discussion blind, but I do want to let you guys know what's going on with me. And beg your forgiveness, please. This will mean that, I guess, Herb, as vice chair, you'll have to take over the chair position temporarily. So unless somebody else wants to, if you guys want to jigger it, do what you want to do, I'll be out of that discussion. But at least the next 3 months, I'm going to not make the meetings.
Okay.
And again, I have to apologize again, but it's unavoidable right now.
Okay.
Thank you. I guess then let's move on to the TSP and discuss that real quick or at length, whichever.
So as I thought, this might be a short meeting. I checked in with Derek because it's like, you know, this is the TSP. So where to start, right? I did some cover to cover today, and I mostly focused on the bike lanes and the pedestrian gaps and just kind of saying, okay, is that okay with me? So I'll just tell you what my stuff is that the bike lanes part of it, which starts about page 40, is not real thorough. Their description are not complete. There are about 19 new bike lanes that they propose, but I can't tell where some of them are. So that was my input to Derek, and also that we need to have the maps that are included just be more hone in, because some of them, I'll try and find this one, it's just got too many layers on it. You can't tell where bike lane 9 is and where bike lane 7 is, etc. So that's my input. And I'm telling you this because this is an example of what we're looking for, kind of the big picture stuff. I also found typos, and I'm going to be sending those to Derek. Kind of important typos because, you know, Northwest 71st versus North or Southwest 71st. Some places, no North, South, East, you know. So that kind of important stuff, that's really valuable as input, too. So that's, if you have stuff, let's talk about it now. It can go into the minutes. Derek will, I'll be shuffling it over to Derek as well. And and you're welcome to always email him, CC me. This is the time to be looking at the big picture stuff, and that's all I have to say.
Anyone else?
I kind of agree with what she says there. It does get a little bit confusing and a little discombobulated as you get through the 40 page 40s. Scared of Dickens, I'm at 142 pages. But anyway, I have to agree with you on that. I think there could be some better clarification, especially on the lane and what the plans are on that.
So I had an issue with a sidewalk that I still think needs to be included. I don't know how to address the issue.
Well, you could say it right now.
Sure. From 101 Southwest Neff down to Southwest Alder, and then that hooks into 2nd Street. And that's a very common access to Nye Beach from the hotels and motels at 101, also from City Center. People will go down that way because they don't have to go over the hill. So, and I had talked to Derek about that before, but it's, you know, it has not been included, but I'd like to bring it up again.
Great.
Thomas, I would agree with Beth that the mapping is terrible and the public outreach was probably even worse if you saw the numbers of people that actually engaged with their outreach efforts. I mean, it was less than 1% of the population and it was all skewed towards over 60. Yeah, well, that's easier to see because it's huge.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, now's the time. I think they will hopefully hear it and make better maps for us because we need to know what the bike lanes are so we can decide on them. We can put our input on them. Maybe there's one that we'd like to see or one that's maybe not necessary, but I can't even tell with some of them.
The maps are a bit confusing. And I'm trying to use my phone. I guess I should do it on the computer. It'd be easier to follow. But besides getting a headache out of trying to figure it out, I got a little out of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring that up. I mean, it's sort of late in the game for that. And we need to sort of key in on what's missing, like Martha did. And the priority, the tiers of, you know, bike lanes and sidewalks, what's getting promoted to the top. Yeah. And then in reading it, they have the word unconstrained and constrained in there. Did you get the lowdown on?
What does that mean? Financially constrained and unconstrained?
It's the opposite of what you think. Constrained means it's potentially funded, I think.
Got it.
You know, I seem to remember hearing that clarification before, and in my head, I think that makes sense because this means that it's now budgetarily constrained, as in we have identified funding for it. We can't put anything extra into it. That's how I'm interpreting it. I don't know if that's the way they're intending the language, but that's how what the dictionary in my head is filling in.
I would recommend we get clarification on that issue from Derek.
Absolutely.
And I would agree completely with Thomas that the outreach didn't, by the consultants, didn't use social media really much. And the city's been struggling with that too as an agency, an entity. And we've been, the council's been reminding staff to use social media more. And HR was supposedly going to create a policy for that and set up some sort of coordination through the new assistant city manager position when that position is filled, so that someone, hopefully a millennial, because they're pretty good at it, you know, people that use that in their own life would be a good asset for the city to be. For all the money the TSP has been giving to consultants, we're not getting a lot of community buy-in, and I am concerned about that. I don't have a magic bullet solution, but I would like to hear more input before it's finalized from a more of a cross-section of the working folks here in the city. I tend to hear comments about the TSP like, don't get rid of the bridge, it'll last forever, and other nonsensical things like that. I think we need to go up to the 30,000 foot level and really either get a really concise executive summary from the consultants that we've hired, or allow staff time to create their own shortened executive summary, so that once this document's finalized and starts to get dust bunnies on the shelf, the implementation piece is still out being talked about in social media, and people understand what's next, what projects are fundable, which ones are, you know, pipe dreams, which ones have already been approved, which ones the bike ped committee supports. And I think that can all be encapsulated in some sort of summary. But like someone, I think it was Dick, said already, like 142 pages makes it challenging to have a concise summary. But, you know, I think that's kind of what I'm hoping to see with the process as it continues on.
That's great. That's, are you going to mention that at the city council meeting too?
Absolutely, if I can remember.
Sounds good. By the way, Ryan, you had a really good comment on the percentage of disabled in Newport, which I kind of wanted us to be aware of, that it actually is 20% of our population is disabled. There's a definition that and that's in the TSP, that factoid, and Ryan was asking about it, so I looked into it. And that does, it includes, you know, people who can't dress themselves, but it also goes to you know, mental capacity. All of it affects how somebody can cross 101, if you ask me. And so to have 20% of our population is something we really need to think about. Was there another comment on TSP?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest, when I worked with the Houston, Blueprint Houston, we had a lot of citizen engagement type of activities. But at a certain point, we had to stop and really think about why we were doing what we were doing. And I think that this would be a good thing to consider as you go on. There's a common document out there called the Ladder of Engagement. And it's used for helping you plan, you know, what do you really want from your participants? Because whatever it is that you're seeking, you want to use a different type of meeting or contact with them. Whether you want them to just approve something that you've done, whether you want them to help you come up with a solution or to brainstorm ideas, there are different ways of facilitating those meetings, either electronically or in person. And to me, I have felt that that was probably a weak spot in this whole process, that, you know, what did you really want people to do? And so I just will throw that out to consider that as you go forward.
Yeah, that's a well-known planning, something I had to study for my planning exam. What you're What you're talking about is something that was decided long ago when Derek put out actually the request for proposals as to, you know, deciding how outreach was going to be. So that's good input. And for future RFPs, we probably or maybe city council needs to kind of guide the RFP process as to what is outreach. Now I will say that they had good outreach planned, but COVID hit, and so they did what they could do and keep everybody safe.
What we found in Blueprint Houston was that when the engagement wasn't genuine, if it was just trying to get a rubber stamp community approval for something that was already decided, that it created a lot of friction in our community. Of course, it's a much larger community, and it created some mistrust of the city. And so they did a lot of work on that to try to resolve some of those issues. And I think being a very small community here, you could basically burn through what few people you have available that are want to put that time in there if you don't help keep them engaged.
Good point. I think we've already seen that with membership on this committee itself, and some long-term members have expressed a lot of frustration on their way out the door. Some of them haven't expressed it within the context of the committee, but it's mm-hmm. it's been heard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely agree with that.
On the note about what the constrained and unconstrained means, it's explained in the document, page 82. So we don't need to reach out for that.
Now I have to scroll to page 82.
Yeah. 82 on the page numbers, I think it's page 90 in the PDF reader.
I get 101. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Financially constrained. Tier one projects. Unconstrained projects with the highest priority for implementation beyond the projects included on the financial constrained list should additional funding become available. I guess you have to read the whole thing.
That seems to make sense with what I was thinking it meant. More or less.
Financially constrained projects are the most valuable in terms of how they meet critical needs and how well they work to deliver on community goals. Projects in this group have a total construction budget, similar to the reasonably available funding over the planning horizon. So that doesn't include any grants that would be pursued for any particular project, like Safe Routes to School or something. So that's where we also need to look at the tier, like how well they're promoted. And some of those are all, you know, back on that spreadsheet we have from 20 years ago that have just been continued on. A lot of them.
Planning ease is almost as convoluted as legal ease.
Well, yeah, I mean, the technology is there. They should have, DKS could have stepped up with a little bit more interactive mapping that people can just go in and drill in on a project and see what it actually means. I'm very frustrated by that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there's time to bring that online for the next community outreach, if there is one. I think there's one more, isn't there?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to the end of the process, right?
Thomas, you have a meeting tomorrow, is it, with them, with the advisory committee?
Is it tomorrow? That's a good question.
I could be wrong.
No, I'm at the wrong computer for that.
That's a good question. What is the timetable for this? I know we've heard it in the past, but what? How long is this going to drag on for before a decision is made? I mean, I've already seen some things change, like some things have gotten lengthened, some things have gotten shortened, but then no one's ever seen it. I've been with you all for a little bit here, but I've never seen a deadline for this or a date of.
Oh, there's a set, there's a set timeline, and we're towards the end of it, and it's going to. Ryan, maybe you know more. It'll go before city council. I don't have the timeline in front of me either, but I've given it to you guys before. It hasn't changed.
Okay.
Everything's been pushed back to, I think originally it would have been done by now.
Yeah, it changed with COVID, but then in the last year or so, it hasn't changed.
The next meeting is next Thursday.
This is 27th, right?
Yeah. So I'm hoping to just go through this transcript if I can to pick out the comments that you guys had. But we can submit things on email, I guess, too.
Yeah, I'd like that opportunity to, as I have a chance to go through it in more detail. I can email you, Thomas, my comments.
Yeah. Email the group. Yeah, email everybody, right?
Yeah, email Derek, Thomas, yeah. CC me, whatever you want to do. You can CC the whole bike pen.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem with it was that they really didn't address alternatives to that Harney Street extension, which I don't think is going to get funded. And so that's it. So there's one way in and out of all those new apartments and buildings and houses up there. And there's also a total dead zone of pedestrian or bike lanes between Northeast 12th, Sam Case, and Northeast 20th, Fred Meyer, Crestview. It's just a blank spot, and they didn't even try to address that. And there's a lot of families and a lot of kids going to school that way that are, as I've brought up a million times, come through my yard. And Michael, you've tried to bike that, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And this was actually something I had hoped to be able to get out to everybody, but if I can find it, there was an ODOT email. God, where did I do it? I lost the link. There was an ODOT email that came into my inbox that talked about a project that somebody had done in Eugene where they'd successfully gotten some safe routes to school stuff done. And I haven't had a chance to read it. I'm going to send it out to everybody. If you haven't seen it, I will make sure to put that in an email to everyone as well, because I'm hoping we might be able to glean something from them, from their activities from this article, and possibly get in contact with the people involved. I couldn't guarantee that would even be possible. But
let's talk about Safe Routes to School next time as well. I have stuff to report. I attended some seminars. Did you, Herb? Did you attend them? Did Herb go away?
Yeah, the one yesterday, and there was one a few weeks ago. I only caught about half of it.
So. Yeah, so those are I have info to convey to you, so I can do a little report on how Safe Routes to School can work for Newport, and Newport can work towards that in the next couple of years. In a nutshell, Safe Routes to School is we're talking about the October 2023 to September 30th, 2024 is when the money will actually appear, but the work has to start now. Having the TSP done will make it is a great way to get Safe Routes to School money, to use that outreach process as an example of how the community supports Safe Routes to School. It's a whole, there's a whole lot involved, especially getting the school involved. So we'll talk about that next week, next month. For now, there's a lot to say, and I have a lot of info to give you guys.
But while we're on that subject, I'm hearing secondhand that Derek is thinking of applying for all these various grants for things. And can you hear me?
Yeah.
That there's things in the hopper, and that none of us know anything about what is being pursued and what priority things are. Like, shouldn't there be a little bit of feedback on the active transportation side of what grants are going to be going out?
I missed that. So you want to know what grant applications Derek's been working on? Is that the question?
In a nutshell, just that maybe that this committee could get a heads up on which of our pet projects that are out there are actually being pursued, and why those ones have been chosen. I mean, just because the grant's available, or and what project does it apply to?
I will convey that to Derek, and we'll put on the agenda for next time.
Great.
Yeah, Beth, if we could get a scope of what he's planning to do, and that would be helpful, because it was mentioned last meeting and we discussed it, but none of us have any idea of what it is. And my experience after being an engineer for the city of Napa and then being on the bike and pedestrian committee, the city was very gracious to allow the bike committee to comment on capital projects that impacted pedestrians and bicyclists. And not that we... But we were, you know, part of the public. We represent the public on some level. And I don't know what kind of relationship this committee has with Public Works, but that could be something that would be good if we could comment on the project. And so it'd be nice, at least at the next meeting, if we knew what the scope was of the project. What are the limits? What the ask is? Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so you're talking about grant applications that are in the works. That's what you want to know?
Well, in particular, the Safe Routes, because applications are coming up. And I'm mentioning this because I've applied and received 4 Safe Routes to School grants when I was at the city of Napa. Man, this is 20 years ago. And I know the process has changed, but I do have some background in it. And not that I want to interject, you know, my thoughts too heavily about what Public Works wants to do, because it's their business. But we are part of the public, and I think it'd be a good courteous to allow us to comment on things. While at the city of Napa, Public Works agreed just to provide information to the committee when I was on the bike committee, basically, you know, preliminary plans, whatever, and we could take a look at them and say, oh, good, there's a bike lane here, or why isn't there a bike lane here, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, staff is always very busy, and sometimes things get neglected, and I think it'd be, if we could have that access, I think that would be useful for the community, personally. So.
Yeah, I think that's a good. Those are good questions for Derek. I just don't know how the city works that much when it comes to capital projects.
Yeah. Okay. But if we get back on track on the TSP, I spent about 6 hours reviewing it. Must have been 4 months ago. It's been quite a while. pointed out a few things at one of our meetings that seemed absurd to me. I didn't personally follow up on them, and I should have. And I think at this point, the process is so far along, there's not going to be a lot of change that we could foster without, you know, honestly, looking at that document, you have to spend 10 hours a week reviewing it, going out to the field, you know, seeing really what is what, and then have a channel to talk to the consultants. And I don't know that we have that channel, you know, to do that. And so I kind of gave up on it, you know, at some point, because it felt a little futile to me at some point. It's, you know, my confession. So, I think we're pretty far down the road right now, and we're not, I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of impact on the outcome. The key thing, I think, is that if the city knows they have 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 projects that they'd like to do in the next 10 years, that they should definitely be in the plan. A lot of the peripheral stuff that I wanted to comment on, the city might never do anything on it, so it really might not go anywhere, you know. So I haven't been around town enough to know what the intentions of Public Works is in the city to, you know, implement some of these projects.
Well, I don't have a golden answer for you there, but I can give some information. We're in the middle of our goal setting for next fiscal year, and that's going to be a public hearing in March. And that's where you'd want to give your feedback on public works projects that the new public works director who just moved here a few months ago, so he's almost new. He's doing a great job, but he has a lot to catch up with. And the streets crew that does a lot of the public works projects has had staffing issues during the whole pandemic. At one point, there was only one of them working for a while. And so that's why you're not seeing crosswalks being thermoplasticed on their usual cycle. And I expressed my concern about the crosswalks around the schools that need to be remarked. And so David Powell's aware of that. What I would say is look at those city council agendas and give your comments on topics that are important to you to keep that discourse going. City staff are commonly bogged down by a whole lot of workload and a limited work week. So the more things are brought up, the more likely they are to be done. And as far as pedestrian bike projects, ODOT plays a very heavy-handed role in Oregon. And they decide the timeline when they're co-funding things, and they have their own schedule. And the city has had somewhat of an active partnership with ODOT, but they often decide on their own through the main office in Salem and then other regional offices as to when those projects commence. But we do have potentially the funds to rebuild the Harney Street and 20 intersection, because that I'm hoping that we can start that this summer. I'm being idealistic, but of all the projects that are scalable without a lot of eminent domain and without a lot of we don't want to do any bonded ones because the city doesn't need more debt, but that project could be shovel ready potentially before the beginning of 2023. I hope that's my goal, to push that. And then the crossing at Eid Street has been funded and ODOT has approved it, and that will be done this year.
Which one is that on Eid?
The flashy crosswalk with the little
across
pedestrian refuge there on over by the high school on Highway 20.
Right. So what are they doing there? Is this going to continue? First of all, the sidewalks and all that at the high school is one of the most dangerous places for anybody to walk. There's so many trip hazards. 6th Street and Eve are just a mess for trips. And we won't even talk about site site problems and like this. It's a very dangerous street to walk, especially when the kids are going in the morning, about 8 o'clock, 8:15. This time of year, it's dark, and people don't keep their hedges trimmed back. There's a house on Eads and 7th that's just a nightmare to get around and try to see around. If you're driving, if you're a student walking or anyone else, and if they forced them to do something about 6-7 years ago, and they did a nice job trimming back, but I guess they don't follow up because it's just as bad as ever. And we want
So on that, I would agree with you 100% that line of sight is a problem in Central Newport, for especially for bike and pedestrian users.
Yes, it is.
So what I would say for that is, I hear you. Put those comments in some sort of written form and send them to me, and then I can disseminate them to the council and to city staff that make decisions on staffing for the streets crew. I do understand, though, that a full-time position for community services has been redirected to deal with the homeless issues in town here, and Officer Ballantyne is unable to get to other code enforcement blight issues because the other part involves human health and safety of the unhoused population, and that has been prioritized. And so we are trying to fund a third CSO position, which would allow for more code enforcement on line of sight issues that you mentioned, and I agree, they're priorities because the potential for accident is quite high. And I completely agree, we need safer routes to schools, we need better bike lanes, and so the more you put it into writing, the more that it becomes a priority at the administrative level. And I honestly recommend that you write letters to the editor of the local media and do that sort of thing too as a group. And the more that gets people's attention, the more it can be part of the discourse. So that's what I would say about that.
Okay. Well, okay.
Ryan, you brought up these projects that are potentially going ahead. I just, you know, it would be nice to be able to look at that TSP matrix and say, oh, that one is actually bumped to the very top. We have no way of knowing.
Yeah, I agree. It's like Connect Four. It's hard to see what's going on. So I don't disagree with you, but I don't know anything about urban planning. And so I would defer to Beth and her team as to how to make that more user-friendly. And she could pass that on to Derek, because that's really on his shoulders. But yeah, I agree. There could be a column in there, a graphic talking about fundability, yes, no, unknown, and then state, federal matching grants column, and then potential biennium for planning, pre-planning, year of potential funding, shovel-ready year construction start. To me, that would mean something to be able to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
It doesn't sound like they'd have to reinvent the wheel, but, you know, heaping more work on people is something I don't always necessarily like to do. But the outcome needs to be a document that's understood by everyone. And that in of itself is a big challenge. So, but I mean, I'm on my last year of my term, and so I feel like I would like to see try to help the most people pedestrian and bike-wise for safety, and that crossing at Eads will help a lot, and redesigning that intersection at Harney and 20. There's near misses every day when I drop my kids up at school there, so I think that can be – I'm really crossing my fingers we can get ODOT on board and lobby them to make that shovel ready before, you know, the beginning of 2023. I sure hope so.
That should be the first priority.
I agree.
I've hiked through that the last couple of days in this weather, and starting all the way down there at third, all the way up that hill. It's just a bloody mess, and you hold your breath about the huge hole now in the right turn lane there. Yeah, that's about 5-6 years over, well overdue, that intersection.
I hear you.
Did we kind of sway away, get away from the TSP discussion?
It's just tangentially related, I feel.
Okay, if it is, that's great. Continue, please. I'm having technical difficulties. I'm going in and out, but I hear everything, and I heard my name, and I didn't really catch it. So if you don't mind, whoever, I'd love to hear what you had to say.
I just said you're doing a great job, Beth.
You did not.
What I said was, I don't. It's not my role to assign work to people, but we, I think as a body and a group, it would it'd be neat to see when the TSP is finalized a time stamped matrix of project funding after we go through goal setting and after the other portions of the TSP are finalized, so that people can say what's funded for 2022.
Yeah.
And here are the weighted projects. What's funded for 2023? What are we waiting on to what is the local match for the projects for those 2 years, and what you know, estimates for that kind of thing, so that there's a clear path forward as to what is not only prioritized but what's fundable, what's already funded, and what's going to need to be co-funded.
That's a wonderful idea. Send it to Derek.
Yeah.
Any more comments on the TSP?
I have nothing.
That's not enough.
As I said, I'll put some stuff in writing in an email as I have a chance to go through it for what catches my eye.
Great. I think we forgot crashes.
Oh, were there any? Yes, I did skip over that. I didn't see any.
Yes and no, there were. So my crash report from Newport Police Department is none. And then I see this in the paper from last week. It was an OSP accident reported to OSP. Driver of Ford F-150 pickup was cited by Oregon State Police after hitting a pedestrian in Newport shortly after 5 p.m. on December 12. According to the OSP report, the female pedestrian was lawfully crossing the highway at 8th Street, I'm presuming northeast 8th Street, when she was struck by the northbound pickup driven by blah, blah, blah of Seal Rock. The pedestrian was transported by ambulance to Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital in Newport. After the investigation, Ollinger, driver, was cited by OSP for failure to stop and remain stopped for a pedestrian. Do you guys think that was one of those rapid flashing beacons?
If it's North 8th, then it's near the grocery outlet. And no, there are crossings, but they're blocks away from there.
There's crossings on both sides, but they're several blocks away. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go down to what is it between 3rd and 4th, and then all the way up to. I don't remember where the next one is north of there.
There's one at 10th Court by Abby's Pizza, and then there's the one block offset intersection by Newport Cafe, which is 6th.
Yeah.
But yeah, 8th just has it's a legal and lawful crosswalk, but it doesn't have any markings.
Well, I'm just going to add it to my list. And in the meantime, I'm... As your liaison, I'm going to look into why I'm not getting OSP reports.
Thank you. If we are done with TSP discussion, any emails that will go out to Thomas for the next meeting, we'll move on. We've got the BPAC name change and the FYI on the Ocean View report, which to me strikes me as much more interesting.
Name change is going to be next month. I keep saying that.
Yeah.
Next month. That's so fine. Tabled. And on to Ocean View report, which is a report from Aaron, who is our
city engineer.
And that was a report to Ryan, to the city council. I'm not finding it.
I have it up. I can read it if you want.
Go ahead, Michael. You can take it away.
So I'll skip a bit of it. So cities initiated several mitigation strategies. Signage and striping and street marking have been added at the intersection of 15th and Ocean View. Advisory speed signs will be added at two locations, 20 mile per hour sign north of 17th and a 15 mile per hour sign between 12th and 13th. Engineering department has mailed letters to property owners to maintain clear line of sights. City has applied to ODOT to extend 25 mile per hour zone north through 33rd Street. So that would be the whole length of it, I think. And evaluating options for further action, addition of speed bumps or cushions to be placed approximately 200 feet either side of the crosswalk near Agate Beach, west of the Best Western Plus driveway, and perform a traffic study at the intersection of 15th and Ocean View to evaluate warrants for three-way stop control. Costs of future additions have not yet been determined. So that's a brief summary of what it says. I'm going to have to go look at those markings because I haven't been over there in a long while. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about when those signs will be going through. It just says soon.
Right now, if you should keep it up there, they've got a really nice one of those that judges your speed and kind of wags a finger at you and tells you how fast you're going.
Oh, good.
Really slow down traffic up there coming, especially as you're heading south on Ocean View. Amazing how many people pay attention to that sign and none other. That slows people down.
I think we did suggest that that would be a good way to get people into the mindset of slowing the heck down up there.
The chief of police bought four solar powered your speed signs recently, and they're being delivered soon, I guess. And they're going to go up around town. That was a council priority that was funded for this current fiscal year.
Well, two big thumbs up for them for that.
That is wonderful to hear.
Yeah, that'll help a lot.
I would like, Ryan, could we get one of those on the South Jetty Road?
You think the dragsters would...
I second that.
Yeah, I don't know that the four that we bought were I think three were fixed and one was a floater, and so... I would actually ask Jason Malloy where his plan was to put them, because council hasn't been informed of that at this point.
Yeah, the dragsters are picking up steam on Jetty, but mostly at night, which I think they assume there aren't people there, but there are. So
could you get a set of plastic spike strips off wish.com and maybe you could possibly.
No one has done that.
That sounds like a California problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the Ocean View Safety Drive safety report and extra stuff. So I'm a little excited by that. Hopefully that can help begin the process of easing the problems that we have over there on Ocean View. And that leads us to public comment. I don't think we have any, and then any open floor for committee comments. I've already given you my news, so I have nothing else to add. Anything?
Just a compliment on the TSP, that the layout and the graphics are really, really nice. It's very attractive visually.
Anything else? Yes, especially
that. I think I sent it to the group on the 25th. ODOT's having a webinar about what they're going to do with some new infrastructure money that was approved by the Biden administration. And I don't think they've got it all worked out, but they're going to lay out a plan. And so if anyone's interested, I'm going to listen in on that. I'm sure the city is aware of it.
Can I put you on the agenda for next time to report back?
Sure, you can.
Okay.
Yes. But if anybody wants that email, I can forward it out again. It's on the 25th.
I think I got it, but if you don't mind sending it out again, if it's not a trouble.
Okay. Will do. I'm sure there's some bike money in there somewhere, so it'd be nice if we knew about it. So.
Undoubtedly. I'll try and attend that as well, too. I can't guarantee that I'll make an attempt. But I'm looking forward to what comes of it. Anything else? Okay. If there's not anything else, then I will confirm your next meeting will be the 8th. I'm sorry, I won't get to meet Bob for his first. Oh, hopefully he'll be there.
Can I say something, Michael? Just a little thank you, big thank you for everything you've done so far. We don't thank you enough. And all the best for you and your family. Do what you need to do, and we'll welcome you back whenever you're ready.
I feel like you guys thank me more than I deserve, to be honest with you, but thank you again.
Are you ready to take the helm, Herb?
This is a temporary thing, or?
It's just a temporary, yeah. And I'm looking at February, March, April, and then hopefully by then I'll have something, maybe even back by April, I don't know, but hopefully by then I'll be settled and figured out what's going on and get this done.
Sure, well.
Okay.
Good luck to you on that. I hope you and your family are well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been stressful. Mm-hmm. It's been a long couple of years, as we all know. So. Then if there's nothing more, I guess we can adjourn early.
Quick comment. Who's interested in the TSP meetings, you can watch them on the live stream. If you go to the committee's page on the city's website, all the links are there. And you can also, if you want to comment, you can ask for the Zoom link ahead of time and participate and comment. So it's a way to get involved.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And with that, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting at, I'm going to call it 6:40 p.m.
Second. So.
Thanks, guys and ladies and everybody else.
That is.
Look forward to your return, Michael.
Thanks. I'll see you in the spring.
Good.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Well, my dear, the meeting is over.